At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
What an atmosphere we've got in the Stanley Cup Final, and what a result so far. An amazing crowd at Rogers Place in downtown Edmonton, quieted by the Florida Panthers' relentless approach to the game, and the Edmonton Oilers find themselves down to the Florida Panthers 3-0. I got to tell you, Drew, I'm a little surprised.
I kind of was, Danny, a little bit. But then, as you just said, you used the word relentless. And that's what the Florida Panthers are. The way they play away from the puck, Sergei Bobrovsky, Ekblad, his last couple of games has been really good. Defensively, they're so strong, and it's everybody connected. It's surprising that because how they have shut down the top stars, two of the best players, if not the best players in the world, in Draisaitl and McDavid, and the other top stars, not a sniff, nothing, because Florida's doing what Florida does.
No, but the thing is we've seen this so many times in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's those guys on the third line that win it for you. And those guys that you need, even if you have superstars on your team, that you have to have them win it for you. And yeah, they need McDavid to score. Sure, they need Draisaitl to score. But they've got to get that play from McLeod near the end of the game that Bobrovsky stopped.
Draisaitl dropped off for McLeod in front. McDavid, a chance left circle, walks in, tried to dance on the left foot. Oh, what a save by Bobrovsky on McLeod with the left pad. He keeps the Panthers up one. McLeod right at the top of the goal crease was set up by McDavid. And Sergei Bobrovsky coming up with one of his best saves of the night here in the late stages.
Okay, let me ask you on that save. Is that the save that, if Florida goes on to win, is that the save that gives Sergei Bobrovsky the Conn Smythe?
Well, it's a good question because I'm going to get into that discussion. What about the defensive play that Barkov made on the first goal four? And then what about the breakaway that he scored to make it 4-1 that turned out to be the game winner?
Here's Barkov, power move up the far side. Almost lost it, got it back across to an open Forsling. A shot tip, and they score with Sam Reinhart cruising to the front of the net. That one deflects home, and the Panthers strike first with 1:02 to go here in the opening frame. It's 1-0. Barkov to Rodriguez. Barkov in front, a long shot, and he scores! Barkov makes it 4-1 Panthers with 4:29 to go in the second. The captain streaks it alone, and the Panthers lead by a trio.
I think right now, let's say that given how difficult it is to come back from a 3-0 deficit, it's virtually impossible in the playoffs, and even more so in the Stanley Cup Final. It's only happened once ever.
1942?
Yep, Maple Leafs in Detroit. How about this? The discussion between those two yin and yang elements of the Florida Panthers lineup, the Barkov leadership and all of the things he does away from the puck to make other people better, and then the big saves that Bobrovsky is making and the fact that he's kind of fighting the father time at age 35 and playing as well as he is.
It's a great point. The one thing I really like about these Stanley Cup playoffs, and I do believe you and I talked about it at the start of this series, was the world, or the hockey world, especially people in Canada who don't watch the Florida Panthers very much, are going to get an idea of how good Barkov is. And not only how good he is, but how complete of a player he is, and how he is one of the best players in the National Hockey League that nobody ever talks about, because very few people watch the Florida Panthers, which is kind of silly. But I think the one thing that is being, the light being shined on Barkov is great for hockey. But here's the other thing when you look at it with Bobrovsky too. We're looking at him and the way he's playing right now, and he's 35 years old. And right. I know 35 is not old, especially for old guys like you and me, but in the hockey world, 35 years old. And he's at another level, Danny. Like, we always knew he was good. But dude right now is playing out of his mind. He's playing in his mind. I mean, right now he is the most confident goalie on the planet because of what he's been able to do for Florida.
Well, he started things off when the score was 0-0, and they were shorthanded chances for Edmonton. Connor Brown had some opportunities, and Bob was there.
Verhaeghe over the Edmonton line. Near side drop pass. Got away from Tkachuk and now a race for Connor Brown. Has it for Edmonton. A lane to the net. Right side cuts in. Shots. Hey! Made by Bobrovsky with the blocker. A shorthanded try for Brown. Again out from Brown and he missed wide. He was set up on a feed from Fogle. Couple of big chances for Connor Brown. Just missing twice.
Bam, bam, bam. And it happened a couple of other times with the score nothing, nothing. Leon Draisaitl had a big one-time chance. And then McDavid had a big chance, and he couldn't score. It really is amazing to see, and as we will find out in this show later, hear some of the frustrations of those stars as the puck is not going in.
For Draisaitl's shot, they thought, for the world thought that was a goal because he'd been doing it since he came in the league, especially on that pass, especially where it was from. Bobrovsky gets over, makes a great save. But you're right. There is a frustration and a disappointment from the Edmonton side on the fact that they have not been able to solve Sergei Bobrovsky.
McDavid also has been rather quiet in terms of his post-game interviews these days. He just really was at a loss for words after the game. In fact, he talked about just trying to figure Florida out when he discussed that with the media.
Yeah, we're trying to figure them out. Obviously, you know, we haven't beat them in three games, and we've had stretches of good, we've had stretches of bad. We're trying to figure them out.
But they're not figuring them out, and it's partly because of that great defensive play that this team is performing for Coach Paul Maurice. And in fact, talking about that, they're also getting big goals at big times from big players. You can't forget about Vladimir Tarasenko. With the score 1-1, he would score a huge goal on a play that maybe Stuart Skinner would have liked to have had back.
Out comes Lundell. Got it to center before he pushes it deep inside the Oilers' zone. Now played out front shot. They score! What a setup! Tarasenko out in front. He was set up by Luostarinen, and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead with 10:48 to play here in the second.
All right, so that's a huge goal. And there's Tarasenko again, a Stanley Cup champion from 2019 with St. Louis, doing what Paul Maurice says he has to do. He's got to get one goal per series. That's rather important. And he got one right there. What was your thought on that play?
Well, that was a crushing goal against, because Skinner and CeCe had a problem with communication behind the net. That was a puck given away, and that was an easy goal. But I think your point is really well taken. When Paul Maurice was asked last series, Tarasenko need to be scoring more goals, be more offensive, he said, no, he just needs to give us one big goal per series. And he gave it to him right there. But that's the other thing, though, Danny, when it comes to Tarasenko. We always thought Tarasenko was a goal scorer, star, offensive guy, right? But he has come in and he has bought into that Florida Panther way, that the way they're playing. He's very good away from the puck. He's very attentive defensively. So that's another guy they brought in that's just fit right in because of that leadership on that team.
Yet another guy, Sam Bennett, talked about Tarasenko and what he's meant to the team.
He's been incredible. Just his energy every day. He's always smiling. He's always in a good mood, and his leadership has been crucial for us. He's got that experience, and a lot of guys look up to him. So he's been incredible for especially the young guys. But honestly, I think every single guy in our locker room looks up to him. So he's been a big part of this.
Well, he's a huge part of it. And of course, Alexander Barkov is another huge part of it. And that's something that Sam Bennett was talking about. And he basically told Barkov to plug his ears while he discussed him in the news session.
He's our leader. He's our captain, and he plays the game the right way. It's, as gifted as he is offensively, he's so committed to playing defense and shutting guys down, blocking shots. When you have your all-star captain playing that way, it carries on to every single guy in the locker room. So he means a lot to this team, to say the least.
Just to say the least. And, you know, I looked at his draft numbers, and everybody says, how on earth can you draft Alexander Barkov second overall? Who on earth went first? Well, Nathan MacKinnon's pretty good.
Not bad.
So think about those two picks in the draft, and think about another thing as we approach this NHL draft, the excellence of the scouts to be predicting what players are like. And they say, well, it's easy to predict that those two players, how many times have we seen guys go drop and become great players after they were selected 13th, 14th, or in the case of Joe Pavelski, 205th overall. But think about what the scouts had to project forward with these guys when they're 16, 17 years old to be where they are now. It's pretty amazing.
It is. I mean, what we've seen when it comes to drafting is not an exact science, but also even if a guy's drafted high, sometimes we've seen them not work out to be what you think they're going to be because it's the toughest league in the world. That's why those interviews with the talks with the guys before they get drafted are so important to find out what these guys are made of. And Barkov comes from a hockey family. So he had that idea of what he had to be able to do in order to be as good as he is. But a lot of it has to do with the individual, right? After the scouts draft him and the development that is necessary for that player, it all falls on that player's shoulders. Okay, you're here. Figure out how to stay here. And Barkov's not only figured out how to stay here, but he's one of those guys that's made himself into a superstar.
Well, think about what he did in this particular game. The defensive play that he made on that first goal that they scored, Sam Reinhart, he started it all by getting it ahead. And then Gustav Forsling, who's having a great playoff, put a nice little feed over to Sam Reinhart to knock it in. And that was really late in the first period, too, at a critical time. How many times have we seen that in Sharks history? What, 2 minutes to play, basically?
Yeah.
So that was a gigantic play. And then he scores what turns out to be the game-winning goal because Edmonton did put on a big push, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But what an amazing goal that was. Reinhart again with Rodriguez. Rodriguez, who's having an amazing playoff and a great final. A perfect pass to Barkov. The thing that got to me, though, as he scored this goal, was he was so calm and looking, and he just didn't waste any time and just took a little wrist shot. And it looked like something that any goaltender should have stopped, but it was not stoppable. What'd you think?
Yeah, well, you've described it perfectly as usual. His demeanor, his calm demeanor is a great point by you, that the guy doesn't get rattled. He does not get hurried. He plays fast, but he doesn't rush. He does everything right. And the other thing, too, at the end of the game, when they're putting the push on, he has a big block shot right in the middle, like what Bennett was talking about. He does it all. But that goal was, you're right, it was a beautiful shot. It was perfectly placed.
I can't tell you how easy he made it look. To me, was incredible. It's so like, we'll just take a wrist shot. If I did that, the goaltender, Stuart Skinner, would have stopped me 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100. But what a perfectly placed shot it was. And after the game, Barkov was asked, which did you like being part of better, scoring that game-winning goal on that play or making the defensive play earlier that he's so known for making?
Well, I just do what I can do in the moment. And if it's make a defensive play, I'm trying my best to do the defensive play. And I mean, I think it's pretty much everyone on our team does that. Like when you have to defend, you defend as hard as possible. When you can play offense, you're going to play offense. So, and obviously on my goal, there are a lot of great plays made before the goal, like Rhino making great defensive play and Roddy giving me the pass on the breakaway. So when you do the right things and when you trust your line mates, teammates, good things happen.
And all of the best players seem to provide praise to all of their teammates, as Barkov just did. And he wasn't finished because he also talked about Bobrovsky's big save on Ryan McLeod late.
Well, he's had a lot of big saves, especially in the finals. I know they have a really good team. They're going to have their chances no matter how good we play in defensive zone. Like, they create a lot. They're very gifted offensively, so they're going to get their chances. And like Bob has been dialed in. And when you see his, how much work he puts in every single day and in the practice and in the games, you're just happy to see him perform like that. And that was huge save for us. But he also had a lot of big saves throughout the whole game.
He sure did. And again, we talked about a couple of them, but it gets back to Florida's defensive structure. That's such a big part of this. We've been noticing it since the very start of the playoffs. And Sam Bennett talked about some of that and why they're so good at sticking to it.
I think it comes down to every single guy buying into it. Every single guy is committed to playing that defense first and that system of coming back, supporting each other. And, that's what you need to have success. So it's really been just a full commitment from the entire group.
We've seen that all year, Drew.
We certainly have. And that's so important. And, you know, reading the headlines and reading the stories up here, one of the things that the sports writers and pundits are amazed at is the connected way that the Florida Panthers play. That's the new buzzword in the National Hockey League, connected. But sticks in passing lanes defensively. Everybody pressuring. One guy goes, they all go. Being physical, winning those 50-50s along the boards, behind the net, in the corner, taking away shots by blocking him with your stick or blocking him with your body. Everything they do, it's not just one guy. It's every guy. But in the game last night, in game three, you mentioned it. Not only did you have those guys going and doing what they've been always doing, but also you had the big guys like Barkov and Reinhardt scoring goals and getting points. Kachuk getting on the board with a good assist on the first goal. So lots of good things happening right now for Florida.
And related to that with Barkov and his overall complete game, Paul Maurice says that sometimes it has nothing to do with scoring goals or doing anything that you notice.
Some of the games that he's played this year where he's had the most impact, he doesn't show up on the score sheet. And then what his gift is, he defines everyone else's game. Alexander Barkov, this is what I'm willing to do. This is how I'm going to play the game. So if you think of being a rookie coming to training camp, well, this is my favorite line of all rookies, I just got to play my game. You don't have a game, right? You don't have one. But that guy's got a game. Why don't you just play like him? That's his. Talk about quiet leadership. We think about it, and I learned too as I go, he's a unique personality. But his consistency with that game and the number of nights that he's not on the score sheet necessarily, that everybody on the bench is going, oh, my God, that guy's a player. That's his gift to us.
It is quite a gift that he's got. And you notice it, Drew, when we've walked into that Florida dressing room, even in game six of the regular season or whenever we might happen to see Florida, we've never seen them, obviously, in the playoffs. He has a presence about him. There's something about him, when he goes to sit in his locker stall, there's something special going on there, and I can't describe it any other way.
First of all, Paul Maurice is a gift to us. What a great line that rookies, and everybody said, I just have to play my game. You don't have a game. What a great line. And he's
it's
right.
True.
It's true. And Barkov defines what your game is and what it should be. He's a total pro. Maybe that's it, Danny. Maybe it's that quiet leadership that we don't see very often, or we don't know, or it's hard to spot because we're not around the guy every day. But he has a commanding presence where he treats people like he's always been good. You want to go talk to him, he sits down and talks to you. He looks you in the eye. He has something smart to say. He's insightful. He's calm. But he has a presence, as you said, that's the secret to being great. Something that it's an intangible that's really hard to define, but easy to spot.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
So what's it feel like to be up 3-0, just one win away from winning the Stanley Cup for the first time in your life and for the first time in the history of your franchise? That could distract some people going into game number 4, but it doesn't sound like it distracts people like Sam Bennett.
The job's not finished, so we're not really thinking about that. Our whole mindset right now is recovering and getting prepared for the next game. I don't think anyone can really look ahead. It's still, we got a lot of work to do. So that's our focus right now.
And the other focus is to keep your emotions in check, which Alexander Barkov, the captain of the Panthers, talked about.
It's there for us, but you don't think about it. You can't think about it. All you have to do is just take, like, one moment at a time, and right now we gotta enjoy this win. And we know we battled really hard today, and we had a good win, and we just enjoy this. Tomorrow we need to recover and get ready for the game. So that's about it. Like, we never think too much ahead.
Paul Maurice kind of expounded on that a little bit when he talked about how Florida has managed to be so ready to capitalize on teams, and how they've kept an even keel.
I think when we defend usually in a group, so that things that are broken off that play, there are options. So it's not an isolation game. That if something goes, you know, we occasionally will spring a player, but that wouldn't be our starting point. So vast majority of those plays never result in anything. It's not like we're knocking a puck down and generating 16 to 8 chances on a team in a game. The vast majority of our time, especially against Edmonton, is defending as a group. And I think the difference would, that's not the right word. The way that I would describe our game would then be, it's actually a fairly patient offensive game. So if there's something good there, we'll try it. And if not, we won't force it.
And there's something else, too, about not forcing it, and that you have to have big moments and big plays to win. Getting back to what Maurice was talking about when it comes to Barkov's contributions that don't show up on the score sheet. He talked about a couple of the blocks, the fact that Aaron Ekblad held the puck and ate some time away near the end of the game.
Seconds.
It just did not allow anything to happen. I mean, don't you think those were keys to the game?
Huge moments to the game. Block shot by Barkov, block shot earlier, going through, I can't remember who it was, Bouchard at the point, get the puck out of the zone. And then the puck goes in the zone, I think it was like 25 seconds, where Ekblad just hard on the puck, stays on it. That's that 50-50 puck. It wasn't even 50-50. It was 100% Ekblad. But then everybody else comes over, the group effort that Paul talked about, and kills Edmonton's chances of trying to get that tying goal. Amazing play by Ekblad, and shows you how strong that kid is.
You better believe it, and how smart he is too. And of course, it brings back memories of the other side of that coin. How many times have we seen the Sharks having the opportunity to eat the puck and didn't quite do it? They did 80% of it, and it turned into a goal against.
You're absolutely right, Danny. When you look at it, there's always lessons you can take from winning teams. And I think this, you know, when you're watching the Florida Panthers right now, if you're a Sharks fan, you're watching the Florida Panthers and going, you know, geez, look where we are, look where they are. Well, look what they were, where they were just a few years ago, and look where they are now. And it should give you hope. It should give you hope that management is doing the right things, or hopefully that management is doing the right things and we're on the right track.
Hope and excitement, those are all things that are happening in San Jose. And as Drew just said, it's the story of the Panthers the last couple of years. Here's Paul Maurice on those last minutes and those big moments.
Well, you don't get here without it. So what would happen at the end of this game would have had to have happened in three series prior, and it did. So we're 2-2 against the New York Rangers, and we score an overtime winner to change possibly the course of what happens. But in that game, yeah, I mean, the block there is every bit of as important as the block tonight, and it just all the small moments string together to give you a chance. But they got to keep going. Right? There's no change in the game. I mean, sure, both teams block big shots. Both teams compete so hard, and at the end of it, it's two great teams. It's 2 inches inside a post and 2 inches outside a post, and there's no fault at any man on the ice for that not happening.
Pretty obvious that Paul Maurice and his team are on an even keel, but what about the other side of the ice? Chris Knobloch, head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, talked about some of the big mistakes that have happened at key points in the game that have been awfully frustrating to him and his coaching staff.
Yeah, it's take away the momentum. I think about the second period and how well we started, and we had a couple breakaways, some really good slot chances, and then we don't score on those. And I liked where we were going after the Fogel scored that huge goal. I really liked our team, the execution, the energy. Like I said, we had some really good chances to go ahead. Their goalie made some nice saves, and then they dump a puck in, and we're down 2-1. That was a tough one.
The Stars aren't scoring for Edmonton because of the great commitment that Florida has to defense, and Leon Draisaitl talked about that series challenge.
Well, we're playing a good team, and I think two of the three games, probably could have went either way. We could be up 2-1 right now, but that's not the case, and that's not how this league or the sport works, unfortunately. So yeah, just got to find a way to dig ourselves out.
You have to battle through it when you dig yourself out. And Stuart Skinner, the goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers, talked about the battle that he sees amongst the players in front of him.
We definitely cut it close. We battled all the way to the end, and that's the kind of team we've got for a whole season. And just another game where we proved that. I think that we can be an amazing team, and I know that we can find a way to beat these guys.
One of the reporters asked Stuart Skinner what's going through his mind being down 3-0 in the final and having a home game with all the pressure on him.
It's an interesting question. Because I'm extremely grateful to be right here, right now, answering these questions. You know, we're playing in June, and that's something to be very, very grateful for. So, at the same time, you're also right. I think it's both of those things. It is disappointing being down 3-0. We gotta let that reality sink in, and I'm not too sure what the stats are coming back on it, but if anyone can do it, it's the oil.
And here's how Darnell Nurse looks at things.
I mean, it's the playoffs. Every day feels like a month. So I think for us, you know, we got to just park the past and move on to game four. We have to, you know, this team's been through so much this year, you know, throughout the course of the season, throughout the start, middle, end. So it's no different now. We take it one day at a time and get ready for game four.
Coach Knobloch says they're keeping the belief alive.
I don't think there's much to be said, or I think there's a lot of belief. You look at our season this year, and, you know, we've had 2 8-game winning streaks. We've had a 16-game winning streak. When things go well, we can really turn it up. And, you know, I think we've showed that we can beat this team. I think there's a lot of belief in that. It's not like we're getting outplayed and we're just, you know, that team's better than us. I don't think there's anything that I need to say to the team and convince them otherwise. You know, I think everyone in that dressing room feels the same way I do, is we can string together a lot of wins. We've shown it. Obviously, the stakes are a little bit higher. We're playing a better team than we would in the regular season. But yeah, I don't think there's any doubt in our room.
Isn't it fascinating to just see the contrast in the two rooms and what's going on?
Yeah, I think Chris Knobloch's doing a little bit of coaching here, trying to convince himself and the peripheral opponents that they've still got a chance, which they do. You know, you and I were part of it with the Sharks being up 3-0 against LA and seeing LA come back, and this doesn't happen very often in playoff hockey. This 5 games so far, they have played the Florida Panthers this year. They've scored 9 goals total in the 5 games, and they've lost all 5 games. So they're trying to find something that they go, this is who we are. We're better than what we are right now. You can use the what ifs all you want. The bottom line is Florida's playing better. But as Paul Maurice said, it's not this guy's fault or that guy's fault or this guy's the star or that guy's the star. It's a collective that's making it happen, Florida Panthers. But Chris Knobloch has to try to find, and so does Darnell Nurse and Stuart Skinner and Leon, got to find something to hope for, to use to back your belief in each other.
And you know what? This is the time for the Edmonton crowd to not get taken out of the game. They're going to have to stay in it for 60.
Yeah, they were loud as could be last night, especially when they got their second goal, then they really started to come alive.
Well, we'll see how it happens. Got about a minute left in the show, Drew, maybe a little less than that. Just some thoughts on the news with the San Jose Sharks. Ryan Warsofsky has been named the head coach. Both you and I admire him a great deal. My view is that he did an amazing job with what he had with the defense this past year, and I think he is going to do an outstanding job as the next Sharks head coach.
Well, from what I was told, the process that the guys went through, Mike Greer really had a great process, and he interviewed a lot of people regarding the coaches that he was looking at. And Ryan Warsofsky, he talked to some of the ex-players that Ryan had coached, and they said he is the real deal. He's sharp. He is insightful. He's young. He connects with people, and he has definitely got definitive ideas, and he's won in the past with the AHL. I think, Danny, he could be a guy that's with the San Jose Sharks for a long time.
And we're all hoping for that. I think I agree with you 100% on that topic. He's very organized. He's very approached. I think his way that he'll conduct practice will have a definitive personal flair. And I think he's going to get the most out of some of the young Sharks players that are on the roster. We'll have Ryan Warsofsky at his news conference on Monday on the Sharks Audio Network. Until then, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Perfect.